of a lead pastor search. And we've come to this moment in time where your search committee believes deep within their spirits that the Holy Spirit has brought this family to us this morning. God is so faithful. I'm sure in the next number of weeks you will hear somewhat of the stories that the search committee has gone through to this point. But I will just say one thing. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your leading and your guiding. Everything that we had asked for in a man of God is wrapped up in Phil. No pressure, Phil, honestly. But in our first interview, we could tell right off the bat, and we just praised God from the bottom of our hearts. And then when we had the opportunity to meet Christina, his wife, and then last night, the children, what a blessing, what a blessing. So at this point, we just say welcome, Phil, and come and share what God has laid upon your heart for the church this morning.
Well, good morning, everyone. So great to be here with you today. I bring greetings on behalf of New Life Assembly and Sioux Lookout. They have been praying for you and praying for us as a family for the past 3.5-4 weeks as we have just been journeying together. Amen. And that we share with our congregation just what is going on and what is taking place because we are a family. Amen. As families, we talk together. Amen. And that at New Life Assembly, we say all the time, we are better together. Can we just practice that for a second? We are better together. And so in that part, just know that there are many people praying for this day. So we can just lay aside everything right now, and we can come to hearing what Holy Spirit wants to speak to us. Amen? God loves to speak to his children. He loves for us not only just to hear his voice, but us for to talk with him, for us to make a connection with him. And today, I just want to kind of challenge a little bit. I'm in kind of a little awkward spot right now because, you know, there's a bit of pressure, you know, okay, you know, what do I say? How do I say this? And I've decided that I haven't put anything into a can. I haven't even put together something special for this day and trying to help understand, but I thought I would just come sharing a little bit of my heart with you. And that's so that you can catch a little bit of just who I am as I've been catching through your leadership team, just a little bit of who you are. Because ultimately, that's what it's about. More than about the different things that we might like or dislike, it comes down to is getting to know each other. If this is what God has placed together, well, then we're going to have a great journey together. Hopefully, when you came in, if you did not receive an elastic, and that if you didn't receive one, if you could just kind of place your hand up and one of the ushers in the back and then help us out there, they'll make sure you get an elastic. Please don't allow that little boy to come out of you and sling it across at someone across the way, you know. But we'll talk about it for a moment. And it's just a small little token of my love towards you that I just wanted to give you a gift and I couldn't think of anything else. And so I gave you an elastic. You know, it holds everything together. No, I'm teasing. There is a point to this. But before we start, I thought about for a moment, I shared with my congregation, I've been challenging them a lot, just this part about how we are meant to be change agents. We are meant to make a difference. Everything you say and everything you do, it does matter. You matter. If you didn't matter, why did God create you? He said, I created you with a plan to give you hope and a future, a plan for you to prosper, to advance his kingdom, to see his love extended to everyone around you. So you've been created with a purpose. You know, I have a little bit of, my wife says I'm a little conservative in some ways, but yet my middle name is Change. There's just something about that. When we sang that song, and in that part of the bridge, we sang unshakable, unstoppable, Okay, let's try that again. Unshakable, unstoppable, and that's who he is. Amen? Yes, we're made in his image, but we're meant to change. The Word of God says from glory to glory. So don't get stuck, ever. We're never too young and we're never too old to learn. We're never too beyond a place to grow in him. I grew up in the church. I was born on the front pew. I kid you not. We spent hours and hours in the church. My mom and dad not only love God with a passion, but they love the church. You know, and the Bible says all the more as the day approaches, we should spend more time together, not less. I know what the trends are in North America, and the trends are to spend as least time as we can together because we really don't like each other a whole lot, but we endure each other, and that for the sake of Christ, we endure each other, we kind of do our thing, and then we're off doing our own thing during the week. But that's not what the Word of God has challenged about what the church is. That's what clubs are, but not the church. I'm so blessed. My wife, Christina, could you stand, Christina, for a moment? And this is my wife of 21 years this coming August 19th. We've been doing ministry together from day one. And she went to Bible college for a year and just felt God calling in our heart. And God just has worked through the journey. And we just love life together. And I'm not going to ask my kids to stand, although my girls would probably come right up here. And that, but I'm so thankful for them. They're here with us today, Isaiah, Hannah, and Abby, through this time and through this journey as we just open our hearts to hear what he has to say for us. There's a lot in a name. So what I thought is, I thought I'd break my name down just for a moment of why did God make Phil? Why did he make Phil? In the Greek, we have three words for love. We have phileo, eros, or agape. Agape is God's love. Phileo is the brotherly love. And eros, well, I hope that's what we have between husband and wife a lot. Amen? You know, God wants us to have that passionate love. Well, Phil, or Philip, derives itself from the Greek root word of phileo, brotherly love. My name Alan is my middle name, and Alan means harmony, stone, noble, and it also means fair or handsome. I didn't write it. That's just what dictionaries tell me. And Smith, well, that's a very common name. You know, growing up, my background is Welsh and English, and growing up in there, your last name usually had to do with what trade you were. And so Smith, and that really was a tradesman. So really, who is Phil? I'm a tradesman, a brotherly love and harmony, who is handsome. I was created to lead others into a personal intimacy with the Lord, to find greatness in the treasure in people, and release the fullness of his family. That's why God created me. I've been on a journey these last 5 years, and that in very particularly in these last 5 years, where God has just really been challenging my heart and showing me just who I am and the giftings I have to offer. And it comes out in more of a confidence where if you ask my wife, and that 5 years ago, I was pretty insecure. In fact, if you go back earlier in the ages, I spent 3.5 years because one person spoke into my life at the age of 13 and said, "Why can't you be as good as your brother?" I grew up in a family of 6 kids, 2 girls on either wings, holding the boys together in the middle, the 4. I was the youngest of the 4 boys, and someone mentioned this one word, and the enemy, he is out to rob, kill, and destroy. He will take one word, he will take one moment, and he'll make it that pebble into some major problem for you if you leave it in your shoe. And I left that word in my shoe, and for 3 years I spent chasing after being like my brother. I bought the same clothes. I didn't like basketball. I learned how to play basketball. I didn't like to do other things, but I learned to do it because he wanted to do it. So it brought a lot of confusion in my life. I think in the church, it's a lot like that too. Sometimes we look up to someone and we say, wow, you know, they love God. You know, oh, wow, I want to be like them. And then what happens is we start to try and bring some conformity. We try to be like someone else instead of being who God created us to be. God's not wanting you to be like someone else. Oh, yes, we look up to people and we say, oh, thank you for that gifting. Thank you for that. Man, I see that faithfulness or that truthfulness in someone. And man, that is just so exciting. I wanna have that more in my life. But at the end of the day, there's only one that we are to be like. And his name is Jesus. That he is our way, he is our truth, and he is our life. And that is who we are to follow. I gave you some elastics as you came in. And there's a reason for it. And as I come to that part is, I just want to share just a little bit. There are tensions in Scripture. There is tensions in life. Let me just help explain this, and what do I mean? My wife, on one side, I put a bunch of elastics together just to help you see it from a distance. My wife, on one side, she grew up in Acton, Guelph area. So Sabo Beach is her stomping ground. She feels like she's coming home this weekend as we come into this region. And she's been at us nonstop. We got to go to Sabo Beach. We got to go to Sabo Beach. Why? Because she's had many great experiences at Sabo Beach with family and friends. We got to go to Sabo Beach. Whereas my kids on the other side, grandma and grandpa, they live in Mount Forest. And they have this huge inflatable that's in this brown kind of scudgy little lake. But it's amazing. You can bounce on it. You can jump on it. You can flip off of it and not hurt yourself. And they want to go there. So there's a tension that's happening. Right? How about the tension of, I say I should behave myself here, but you know what? I'm just gonna talk a little bit, if that's okay. The tension of King James, NIV, and something else. There's a tension. But do we realize the Bible was never written in English? King James doesn't have the corner on everything. In fact, I challenge people, you should read many different versions. King James is awesome because it's in that old English and it's really easy to memorize, but it's hard to read. Because we don't use a lot of those words anymore. And sometimes when we hear the word in the old English, gay, that means happy, it means cheerful and joyous. Whereas today, it has a whole different meaning. But on the other side, the King James, it has a whole part of where it has gone word for word, and it is translated so we don't lose the flavor of the words of God's word, which is awesome. But the problem is, it loses sometimes the flavor of the picture of what God is trying to show there. Whereas the NIV and some of the other ones, they don't translate word for word. They translate phrase and paragraph for paragraph so that you don't lose the context of what that word was in. Because how many know you can say a word, but if it's not in the right context, you could get slapped. You could get yourself in trouble. Tension. It's not necessarily right and wrong. It's just tensions between things. How about hymns, choruses? Since when was it ever about a hymn or a chorus? It was about connecting to our Father. Amen? Tensions. I think of so many different tensions and so many different things that can come in place and that as we walk to. How about male versus female? Tensions, even in the church. How about color of skin? One side versus another. How about a casual look versus a three-piece suit. If you were going to visit the queen, I grew up that way. If you were going to visit the queen, you would dress up in your best. But I've gone to visit the queen when I lived in Passard in England. And no one was wearing the best, except for those that were trying to get something. There's tensions. Not right and wrong, just tensions. How about between the last generation and this new generation? It's tensions. Not right, not wrong, just different. We were created to connect in faith. We were created to have life together. We were created to connect the young and the old. We are family. We are better together. And God called it the church. I want to just share a few things here. Number one is that you can know God. You can know him. Old Testament, only the high priest could go in. In our terms today, only the pastor could go into the Holy of Holies. And in fact, they would tie a rope around his ankle, put bells around the bottom of his gown, so when he went in and they didn't hear a little tingling of the bell, they would yank on the cord, on the rope, so he would yank back so they would know he was still living. If they kept yanking and there was no movement, they were dragging a dead body out because sin cannot be in a holy place. Then we come into the New Testament where Jesus died for us. We come to communion and we take communion not because you're worthy, not because I'm worthy, but because Jesus is worthy. We are holy not because we do good things, but because Christ says, I clothe you with my righteousness, and I declare you holy. You see, sometimes we get so confused because of the tensions that we want to keep bringing out in life and in church that we forget really what it's all about. Ground zero is the cross, and the last time I looked, we're all equal at the foot of the cross. We're all equal there. It doesn't matter about all these tensions that you might like, I might like, this person likes, that person likes. But the first thing that I do know that I know is that you can know God. Personally, it's all about a relationship. Number two is you can become a Christian in a moment. Within a second, within a twinkling, you can become a Christian. Confess with your lips, believe in your heart, and you are. No magic formula. He didn't say get everything right, get yourself all together, get everything in order, and then I'll think about you. No, he says, I died for you even before you knew me or loved me. And he's just longing for us to come as we are to him and allow him to do the work that he has prepared in advance for us as we open our heart. Number one, you can know God. Number two, you can become a Christian in a moment. Number three, you can trust the Bible. You can trust the Bible. The Bible is all true. It was true yesterday, it's true today, and it will be true for the rest of eternity. Because the Word of God is God. John chapter 1, the Word was with God. Remember how it goes through that? That's Jesus. If you want to know who Jesus is, just look at the Word. You want to know who God is, just look at the Word. You want to know who Holy Spirit is, just look at the Word. That is who he is. It's an expression. It's a love letter to you and I to get to know. And that, like Songs of Solomon, and that when the beloved says, you're my beloved, and he's speaking words out towards his bride-to-be, and he's loving on her, and he's expressing himself. That is God expressing to you and me through his word. The Bible is true. Number five, the church can share community and it can be fun, and we can enjoy it. We can share life together, and it can be fun, and we can enjoy it. Number six, beliefs matter. It matters what you believe. And today we live in today, we hear this buzzword, tolerance. It's a word that got passed down and that from the last generation to this generation, and this generation doesn't have a clue of what to do with it. Because all they see is this word tolerance been thrown from the world towards them. Yet in actions, everything they see is intolerance. As long as there's tolerance for anything I do, but whatever you do, I have no tolerance for. And the world is trying to get into the church more and more, all these things. But I want to say to you, beliefs matter. Number seven, God has certain ideals for life. He has principles that he wants you and I to live by. If you love me, you will obey me. Obey my commands. He's laid out things in Scripture and that are not meant to be a killjoy, not meant to suffocate you or to hold you back, but to give you life and life more abundant. That's what Jesus said he's come to do. The devil has come to rob, kill, and destroy, but Jesus says, I've come to give life. And you'll find that in me. So God has certain ideals for life, certain principles. And lastly, number eight, God is good. He is good. He cares about what happens in your life. He cares. He cares about everything. When you shed a tear, he sheds a tear. He cares. But just because something is true on one side doesn't mean that we understand everything. Years ago, 17% of the young adults between 18 and 31 doubted God and were leaving the church. Today, we're into the mid-40s. Almost half of our young adults are leaving the church, growing up in the church, being in our services, and walking away and saying, I don't think God's real. Something's not right. If people can't come into a church and experience God, something's a little bit off. Maybe we're focusing too much on something we like instead of what he likes. We'll get to that in a moment. But God is wanting you to experience him. God's wanting you to encounter him. In fact, if you don't encounter him, you can do everything the Bible says and still miss heaven. Matthew chapter 7 says, depart from me because I don't know you. But didn't I go to church? Didn't I tithe? Didn't I help this person? Didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? He says, I don't know you. It's about a relationship. It's not about doing good. We do good because he is good. Amen? Not because we're trying to earn something. We're trying to get something. 8 out of 10 North Americans today believe going to church is not important. What we're doing this morning, you want to go? Great, but it's really not a very important thing. Me and Jesus have a good thing going. Drop in people who have been reading the word since 1996. Today, we are biblically illiterate in Canada. Wasn't that way 40 years ago, but it is that way today. So how we did things 40 years ago is not working today, because today, most people don't even know the word. And the only word they know is what they're taught from Hollywood about that Noah movie. Wow, that was really biblical. No, it wasn't. And I just have to clarify that just in case. And that the Moses movie, Gods of Egypt, not really biblical. Oh, there's little parts of it, yeah, but no. We're in a biblically illiterate generation. How will they know if no one tells them? And the best way to tell them is through your life and my life. Not just in words, but through our lives that we live. We're living examples. Just as much as this word of God is living, sharper than a double-edged sword, we're meant to live out our faith so that others might taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen? We need to be careful, though, that we don't push truth so hard on one side that we lose sight of truth maybe that's on this side. For instance, in my neck of the woods, in my region where I am, we service 27 different reserves. We're a community of 5,200, but we service over 30,000 people. When I first came into the region, one of our pastors were on one of our reserves, had an evangelist come in. Sometimes in honesty, you know, it is really difficult on the reserves. It is not easy. Sometimes you're feeling like you are, if you think you're isolated, they are extremely feeling like they're isolated out there by himself. An evangelist came in, talked a good talk, so thought, oh, this is great. My people having someone, I'll have a little break. First time in a year the person had a break. The evangelist got up and began to start to speak some words and then went on a long rant halfway through that anything other than the King James Bible is of the devil. And if you have any Bible that's in your house that's not King James, you are allowing the devil to have a foothold. And he went on, and the louder he got, because, you know, if we get loud in church, God's definitely there, right? You know, if we get our hands up a little bit higher than someone else, he's definitely with me. I mean, come on, I've grown up in church enough. I know all about church stuff. I know church life and how it works. Well, he was convincing enough that he had our young pastor in the faith and her whole congregation head home. And as they went home, they went and got every Bible that wasn't King James, brought him back to the front of the church, and he had a big bonfire going. And they burned every Bible that wasn't King James. Truth, King James is an amazing Bible. Thank the Lord that we have it. Equally true, there's some other great versions out there, and King James isn't everything. Tensions. There's tensions. Tension is important. When you remove one side, if you take your elastic for a moment and just pull it out for a second here, some be a little more gentle, don't pull it as hard, and you let go of one side, what does it do? It hurts. And when we're fighting so hard for our idea or our way, then what we're doing is we're really cutting it off and saying, I don't care about yours, and you don't matter. And what happens is we let go of the tension that's meant to be there between generations, between male and female, between youth and young adults, between what we like or don't like, between different styles of music and everything else that make us unique. God has not made us so we're all the exact same. He made us that we're all really different. But in our differences, as we surrender to Christ, we lay down our differences for him. And we allow our differences to link us together to become stronger. If not, then we let go and we end up hurting ourselves and the person next to us. So let's talk about those eight truths that I said that are true. And let's walk through it for just a second with me. First one, yes, you can know God. Period. But God is a mystery. He is a mystery. And you can spend a lifetime trying to get to know him. You can know him in an instant. But there's tension on that part is that his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, the Word of God tells us. There's tension there. So if we brag and say, oh, I know God, I know God, I know everything, really all we've done is elevate ourselves to be God. Because every time I think I know God, every time I think I just got it, oh, wow, I understand it, I'm a pastor now, oh, I get it, he just reminds me that I know nothing. I just know nothing apart from him. I don't have a whole lot to offer. Except for I tell my church, I say, you know, I've got hugs. I love to hug. I got lots of love. And I got lots of Jesus. That's the three simple things I have to offer. But there's tension. You can know him, but it'll take a lifetime to know him. There's mystery. Number two, you can understand relationship in a moment, but it'll take that forever to figure out God. It'll take forever to figure out all of his wonders and what he's doing. There's things I did 10 years ago I would never do again. Oh man, thank the Lord I'm not where I was 10 years ago. Thank the Lord he's not finished with us yet, amen? The word of God says, he that began a good work will... He's not done with you yet. So why are we done sometimes? Amen? And that he's not done with us yet. You can know and have a relationship in an instant with him. But it'll take a lifetime of figuring it out and walking with him from glory to glory to glory. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because it's going to take a lifetime to get to know him. And what might have been okay today is not okay tomorrow. Because God doesn't work A, B, C, D, E with every person. Because we're all uniquely different. I grew up in church and thought I had no testimony. Because I didn't do drugs, I didn't drink, I didn't kick someone, stab someone, I didn't spit on someone, I didn't, kick the cane out of an older person walking across the street. I didn't do any of those things. Yet every time a testimony came into church when I grew up, and anyone mentioned any of them, standing ovation. Standing ovation. Which rightly is deserved because God's mercy and grace is amazing. But for a young boy growing up in church, when all was excitable was this, and then it came to, you know, it's time for me to share a bit of a testimony or someone else, and I say, well, I really didn't do a lot of things. God kind of, you know, he saved me from things. I would try to go down this road and he would put that donkey in front of me to talk to me. You know, say, hey, you know, what are you doing? Don't go down this road. You know, spare my life. He turned me around. Oh, thank you, Phil, for sharing. Okay. And move on. You see, sometimes we've brought so much stuff into the church. And sometimes we celebrate things and we don't understand the tensions that are there. That every time we celebrate this, sometimes it leaves something on this side. That's not necessarily right, wrong, just different, because you and I are different. The Bible, number three, is all true. All of it, 100%. We do not bend the Bible to us. Oh, so many churches today are liquid papering out everything they don't like. In fact, there's some churches that have rewritten the Word of God, taking out all the places that they don't like, and they've transformed it into a new version that you can buy. We bend everything of our life to the Word because the Word of God is 100% true. Amen? But everything true about life is not all in the Bible. The Bible doesn't talk about the internet, does it? Last time I read, it doesn't say anything about that. Internet has got amazing points to it. Blue Letter Bible, awesome. Bible Gateway, incredible. Lots of things on there can help us grow and learn and develop. But like any good thing, too much of it or in the wrong direction can be really harmful. The Bible is 100% true. It is the anchor, it is the source, it is our direction, it is a lamp unto our feet. But not everything about life is found in Scripture. And that's why we need Holy Spirit. My brother, and that one of my brothers, he read the Bible in college for, I think he said something like 3 times, front to back. And he walked away from the church. Reading the Bible is not enough. It is the Logos word, and it is all true. But if Holy Spirit doesn't reveal it to you and bring the rhema in, Spirit, you can read the word until you're blue in the face. You can try and do everything in it, but it's about a relationship, and you need Holy Spirit every day to make that happen. There's tensions. All of the Bible is true, but not everything about life is found in the Bible. That's why we need Holy Spirit 24/7. The Bible wasn't written about how heaven works, but really how to get there, how to get to know Him, and how we can allow everyone to taste and see that He is good. Romans 1:20 talks about the eternal qualities He's built into our lives. That we could understand God. This body is on a fade. It's already changing a lot. I play basketball against my son, and I have to work twice as hard now because he's getting pretty good. You know, I'm feeling aches now that I didn't feel 10 years ago. Our bodies are on a fade. But inside, we should be growing younger every day. Younger every day. Number 4, trust leads to stronger faith. Trust leads to stronger faith. We need to trust in Him. We can trust in Him. But doubt also leads to stronger faith. Trusting Him leads to stronger faith. But remember Thomas, doubting Thomas? He says, if this is really true, let me touch. I need to know for myself. I need to know. So as much as trust leads to stronger faith, so does doubting in the right direction and the right way. I don't quite understand if this is real. I just really need to experience it myself. You know, if this is really God, I need to know myself. There's nothing wrong in that at all, is there? Yet sometimes, well, you just got to trust. Just have a little more faith. I don't have the faith. That's why I need Holy Spirit. And that's one of the fruit of the Spirit is faith. He pours it into us. He gives it to us. He pours it inside of us because you and I don't have enough on our own. There's tensions. So just because someone doubts something doesn't mean they're a bad person. Doesn't mean that they're wrong. There's tensions. It's to help them to grow, to learn. Number 5, we can enjoy the church. In fact, let me just help you on this part to understand a little more about me. I really believe with everything inside of me that in our churches in North America today, we have lost our edge. Because we have forgot what the Word has really challenged us to do in church, and that is to celebrate our King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We've turned Him almost into funeral homes, and we come in somber, and we hold everything together, and we got to be all just prim and proper and everything else. But when I read in Scripture, I'm so sorry. Pews are not meant to be in church. Why? Because it hurts my knees when I get too excited for Jesus. And we're meant to get excited. If you can scream and yell for your famous baseball team or whatever it might be, if you can scream and yell when you catch that big fish, if you can scream and yell and that when everything goes good for you, you get the job or something great happens in your life, why can't we do it for Jesus? Amen? We don't celebrate enough. And Sundays are not meant to be our dire needing day. Oh, I just need to hear something today. I need something. If I can just get something today, everything will get better. I'll be able to make it through my week. Sunday is meant to be a crescendo of our week. All week long, we've met with Jesus. All week long, he's revealed himself. All week long, we've tasted and seen and walked in the heavenly gifts and moved with him. And so we come on Sunday, and we just got everything boiling inside us, and we just can't wait to shout out his name and get together with other people that actually like him and love him, because at work, sometimes it's hard. But when we come together at church, we should be getting excited for him and can't wait to shout his name from the mountaintops. Because if we can't do it in here, chances are we're not doing it out there. Bible tells us over and over again through Scripture that we are meant to give him praise. Whatever that looks like. I'm not saying it's 4-4 time or 3-3 time or it's this style or that style. Because that's how all man looks at things. The world looks at it. But God says, I look to the heart. And in our heart, we should be ready to celebrate. That doesn't mean if someone sits down, they're not worshiping God. That doesn't mean if someone isn't raising their hands, they're not worshiping God. All of those things should just be an expression of our heart. And that's it. And if our heart isn't connected, please don't raise your hands. If your heart's not connected, please don't dance. Please don't get too excited if your heart's not connected to it. You don't have to fake it till you make it. What really matters is that we walk out today and we've connected with God. And I trust that you have. I trust that you have. You can enjoy church, but you also can enjoy the world. Not the world system, because we're in the world, but we are not of the world. But we are in the world. Men, I'm going to help you here for a moment. It's okay to have toys, men. And all the men said, amen. Nothing wrong with toys. Just don't let the toys have you. Remember, every good thing is a gift from your Father above for a reason, for a purpose. We're meant to enjoy the church. Everything inside of us, we're meant to have fun. We're meant to enjoy. We're meant to grow. We're also meant to enjoy the world that we're in. God created this world. When he made it, he said, when he was finished, he says, it is good. And he rested. You go out and you see that sunset. You go out and you see that double rainbow. I've had many of them over my house. And I'm just like, whoa. And I just sit out there and I'm the wonders of God. Man, God, you did that. Wow. And he blows my mind over and over again. You go out and you fish. Or you go out and you do something outside, or you go out and you enjoy something. There's tension. Sometimes we paint, oh, everything out there is bad and wrong. Only sacred in here. That's not true. We could take a bulldozer tomorrow and bulldoze the church over. It is a beautiful building, don't get me wrong, but we could bulldoze it over and we could still have church. Because you're the church. I'm the church. We are the church. Amen? We need to remember the tensions and not just cut them and not just be so rigid on things sometimes that we lose sight of it. Number 6, yes, beliefs matter 100%. Can I even say it even louder? Beliefs matter. What you believe matters. In a generation today where anything goes, and that if there was ever a time in the church that we need to know why we believe what we believe and what we believe, it needs to be a louder amen and a bigger shout towards that of knowing what we believe and why. If there was ever a time for it, we need it now. Why? Because the world we live in today in Canada, I'm just talking around us, is biblically illiterate. And so you better know what you're talking about. You better know where it is and why you stand upon it. Because if you don't, who say you do love Jesus and believe in him, the world around you doesn't have a clue, and they're going to need you to be able to express that to them. So what you believe, it matters with 100% inside of us. But yet on the other side, people matter more. I'm coming back to Jesus just for a moment because this is a really tough one to navigate around. But Jesus, all of a sudden, he spent some time with the tax collector. If there's tax collectors here, I just want you to say, we love you. Just saying that right now. Okay? But at the end of the day is, his disciples, the Pharisees, and everyone else around, what are you doing? How about Jesus being touched by the woman with the issue of blood? Unclean? How about the lepers? I'm telling you, if you know Jewish culture and you understand that, you were not allowed to be within a radius of anyone that was unclean. And Jesus is walking up to them. Beliefs, not allowed. You can't do this. This is not the way it should be. Yet, people matter. Paul says, I become all things to all people to reach one. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Jesus ever compromised on what he believed. Never did. But he didn't elevate so high up a position or a person or a status or something else that he forgot what this was all about. God did not come to save the dolphins. I love dolphins. I swam with them once. He didn't come to save our poor little kitty cats. He says, I came to seek and save that which is lost, and my will is that none would perish, but everyone would come into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tensions, beliefs matter, and we better know why we believe what we believe. But people matter too. There's a tension there we need to understand. Number seven. Got 7 minutes left on Amon 7. This is great. God has an ideal. He has principles to live by. His promises all have a condition. If you do this, I will always do this. You can put your money in the bank. This is just who I am. It's what I do. If you do this. If my people who are called by my name, Chronicles, would humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, and I will heal the land. I will do this, and I will do this. If we have a part to play in this, your life matters. What you say and what you do, it matters. But as much as God has his principles and ideas for our lives and ideals, God also uses broken people like you and me. We don't all have it together. I don't know how many times I've run marriages courses, and I kid you not, and that I've had people that have been married 40 years, and you know what they come and say to me? Pastor. Usually it's a little bit like this with a whisper so that no one else can hear. Pastor, I wish I knew some of the things you just shared with me 40 years ago. It would have made our lives a whole lot easier. I love my husband. But sometimes he really gets me under my nerves. And now I understand him just a little bit better. God has his principles. But God uses broken people. I've never been in a church yet. I've traveled around the world, taken over 600 people with me as we've traveled in different nations and different things. I've done all sorts of stuff with different churches here in Canada, and I've never met once a perfect person. Never once. In fact, if I'm real honest with you, I don't think I would ever allow 99.9% of the people that are listed in the Bible ever to be on one of my boards. Ever pastor me. I mean, like, hello, David? Yeah, he was a man after God's own heart, but did you read some of the other stuff he did? Oh my goodness. Will we let that be one of our board members? God uses broken people. He has principles, but he still uses broken people. So there's a tension there. And lastly, God is good. He's a good father. And that's the end of it right there. He is good. But there's a tension on the other side. He is good. But the tension is, you should do good. If he is good and he dwells inside of you, you should do good. Why? Because we're just a mere reflection of him. I must decrease, the word tells us, so he can increase. He is good. And therefore, if I want to be like Jesus, I should do good. Not because I'm trying to get his attention, but because I'm trying to decrease in my life so he can shine bright. There is tensions in Scripture. I'm playing around a little bit, and I'm just trying to really share my heart here just a little bit so you can catch on some of the things that we're just what are important in my life. And just some of the things I feel God wants me to deposit to you this morning. But understand the tensions. Church is not about you. It's not about me. Jesus says, I didn't come. A doctor doesn't come for those that are well. I come for those that are sick. And if we make it inwardly looking at ourselves, we'll try to protect everything we have. But remember, he is unchangeable. We are always meant to change. And we are meant to allow God to do a work inside of our lives so that we can have influence and impact all those around us. You should do good because God is good, not because you're trying to be good, or trying to get his attention, but just because he's good, we can't help to be good. We were created to do good works. Ephesians 2:10 says that we were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God had already prepared in advance before you were born. He already knows all the good works you should do. That's why Holy Spirit's pretty important. You can hear him and you can listen to him and you can walk with him. There is tensions. You need to remember that. Don't be irresponsible. Don't get stuck. Don't be so hard to get along with. Don't be weird. Don't be threatened. It's not your church. It's not my church. Last I read, Jesus says, and that I am building the church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Let's just keep him as the head. Amen? When he's the head, all things work together for good. Don't be foolish. Learn everything you can. Don't stop growing. Don't be shallow. Don't be arrogant. Why? The world is watching. You and me who say we are believers in Christ. Why? Because the kids are watching. And they want to see, is Jesus really real? What you spend every week at church and doing, is it really real? And they want to see that. They want to taste and see he is good themselves. So don't judge or work against each other, but keep the tension. Understand, we don't know everything. We're going to grow together. We're going to learn in what he has for us. So I wrap in just a few seconds here. Most of the time people get threatened in church is because we don't want to change. So, man, you put a TV on the stage. TV is only about entertainment. Like, why do we have a TV on the stage? And for some, that might be a really hard thing. I grew up in Bible college, and they used to teach us all the time, and this is a little backwards part of thinking of of how pastors get trained. Forgive me, and that's Scott. Scott is one of my bosses here, and I have to behave or otherwise I get in trouble. But we were told, how do you move the church organ or move something that's kind of, you know, not really connecting today or whatever? How do you move it out of a church? And they say, one inch at a time. Because it hurts every inch you move it. Why? Because we get so caught on ways. We get so caught on familiarity. You know, I shared last night that, you know, right now we're a church about 110, 120 on a physical Sunday because of shift works, because of other things. We're running about 200 if everyone came at one time. We had 7 worship leaders. God's gifts are just flowing and moving. Everyone's radically different, but I have one of my worship leaders. I'd say to him, I challenged him, I said, I can tell you didn't prepare today. Well, what do you mean? I said, because you're singing everything that you sang 40 years ago. And she goes, well, you know, like God still did things in my life there, and you know, it touched me. And I said, okay, that's great, and there's nothing wrong with a song 40 years ago. In fact, most of the songs I talked about last night, the hymns, most of the hymns, not all of them, but most of them were just local bar tunes. They were the most happening song of the day. They took the tune, and they wanted to be cultural relevant to the people around because sailors would travel, and when they would come in, they'd only be a short time. They didn't have a long time to learn brand new songs, so they'd use this bar tune that they already knew, and they would put words that would pierce through to their heart so that they could connect with God. So it's not about styles. It's not about hymns. It's not about choruses. It's not about old. It's not about new. But it's allowing people the ability to connect with God today. And I'll be honest with you. And that I won't connect the same way you connect. You won't connect even the same way your spouse connects if you're honest with yourself. Because we all have a little different of wiring inside of us. Oh, we might like this style, or we might like this, or we might like this program, or we might like that. But at the end of the day, we're so wired differently. But the problem is we're all trying to conform into in this part of everyone looking the same and acting the same. I think it's time for us just to relax a little. And allow God to restore unto us the joy of our salvation. Allow us to come into the place of finding out who we are. Do you know who you are in Christ? Do you know your giftings? Do you know how he wired you so that you could actually impact this world? See, these are things God really wants us to know. Why? Because you can know him. You can hear his voice. You can have him touch you, and you can touch him. In fact, in the Lord's Prayer, he taught us this as we close. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom, or thy kingdom, depending on what version, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when we see something down here that we don't see in heaven, guess what? It's a great invitation point for you to open up Christ into that situation and allow him to make an impact. Tension. Let's not get so stuck on one way or another, but let's come and allow Holy Spirit to lead our lives. God loves you with everything inside of him, and he's longing for that relationship and that with you. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you once again, Lord, for what you're doing. I thank you once again, Lord, for each and every one that is here today. It's kind of a unique, a really different Sunday, Lord, than normal. But God, we just come into this place today, Lord, laying aside all of our cares, all of our worries, all of our concerns, all the things around us. We are so desperate that we need to hear from you. God, we just long, Lord, for you to reveal yourself. I pray if there's anyone in the sound of my voice today that does not know you, God, they would go on a quest Lord, you said that you have plans to give them a hope and a future, not to harm them, Jeremiah 29, 11 to 13. And on the tail part, you said, if they seek you with all their heart, they will find you. Oh God, there's no magic formula that if they repeat that it's just going to work out great for them. But if they seek you with all their heart, they will find you. Lord, if they confess with their lips and believe with the heart, they will be saved. Today is a good day for salvation. God, I pray for those maybe that are sick amongst us, maybe have a loved one that's sick, and that if you have sickness in your body or a problem in your body right now, or your loved one does and they're just not here, just place your hand on wherever that is right now. Today's a good day for a healing. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, God, Lord, that you would just release, Lord, in this place. Lord, your healing touch. God, Lord, I pray we don't have to work something up. We don't have to try and get your attention. We already have it. You said where two or three are gathered in your name, you are there. So I just speak in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak healing through this place right now. Body, mind, soul, and spirit. Be made whole in Jesus' name. God, we just lift up Pastor Nathan's wife. God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God, I thank you, Lord, for her life, Lord, and she's not amongst us right now, Lord, longing to be here, but God, Lord, you know the circumstance. God, would you reach to her right now? Your arm is not short. Would you reach out to her right now, and would you bring a healing touch to her? God, Lord, would you bring strength to her that when Pastor Nathan goes to her later today, Lord, as he walks in, she'll say, I don't know, something's different. God, Lord, we just pray, Lord, would you return unto us the joy of your salvation, Lord, that with you all things are possible. Lord, today's a good day for a healing. And we just release it right now. It's a good day for salvation. We just release that right now. Lord, it's a good day to be in church. We just thank you for all you have done. We thank you for what you're doing. And Lord, we just pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, Lord, that every single person in the sound of my voice will walk out of here saying, man, I met with God today. Man, I heard him from him today. Lord, even in the unique setting that we had today, which is a little different than normal, I thank you, God, that you still speak today and that we can hear you in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen, amen.